from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah!
It's time for 92.9 The Game Tonight.
For the next hour, tune in or listen on the Odyssey app
as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
We're going up tonight.
Like I say, just turn up and listen, you know.
That's the way to lead the show.
It's 92.9 The Game Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome in 92.9 The Game Tonight. Abe Gordon here, live in the Kia Studios, taking you for the next 3 hours, or 2 hours, 55 minutes, as it may be. Got a lot to get to tonight, including certainly what's been going on down in Miami. We'll continue the conversation. Really a tough go today because it had been such a positive, the reports had been so positive of practice pretty much all the way through, and then you finally get the one dreaded tweet or post that unfortunately you were hoping to avoid, and that is an injury. And so we'll detail our way through that, but it is wide receiver Rondale Moore who needed to deal with some medical attention and get helped off the field. We'll see when the Falcons make an announcement just what the severity of things are. But obviously, anytime someone needs that amount of help off the field, that is not normally a good prognosis. But we will wait and see exactly what goes down. Going to be breaking down the practice just like we did yesterday, and a lot of things that did stand out today and just stood out yesterday continued to stand out today. We'll talk about that as well. We got the Atlanta Braves in a couple of minutes getting ready for action as well. They need to rebound today because they got absolutely obliterated last night. They've fallen now to the third wild card spot. Remember, there are three wild cards, so they are still currently in the playoffs. They're a game and a half ahead of where the Mets are right now. But they need a rebound. I would say a rebound game, but, you know, they need a couple of rebound games. And certainly when you got guys on the mound that you trust, those are the days in which you need to bring it. But on the offensive end as well, because you were shut out yesterday for the second straight game. I think I saw a stat that said it was the first time you've been shut out back-to-back game since 2014. That may have been at home, but either way, first time you've been shut out at home in back-to-back games since at least 2014. And so that's got to right itself. And we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves throughout the show today, especially when we get into it at 8:20, because there's one question that we really need to be asking ourselves. Like, the team, sure, but more like us as fans. Like, there's one question we have to ask ourselves. And if the answer is no, the question I'm going to ask you, if the answer that you give is no, then the season's over. It's that simple. Now, they obviously have to play out the rest of the way. But if the answer is no, then it's done for. That's it. And so we'll get to that throughout the night. We got the PM Power Rankings at 8:40. We'll go outside the perimeter at 9, talk about the Olympics. Relatively quiet day at the Olympics compared to some of the recent days and you know, depending on how the medals are won, what medals are won, you know, some races in track and field a little more prestigious than others, a little more expected than others. So relatively quiet day, but doesn't mean that the U.S. didn't bring home a couple of gold medals. So we'll work our way through that as well. You know, I pushed this from yesterday, but I do want to talk about college football, the coaches' poll, and kind of what we learned from that. Also at 8 o'clock, Travis Wingfield of the MiamiDolphins.com reporter is going to join me and kind of share his observations. Like, we all follow the Falcons beat reporters, right? D-Led and Torrey McElhaney, who you heard there with Dukes and Bell, and Josh Kendall, who's on the station, and Taryn Walk, who's on the station. I'm going to have Daniel Flick on tomorrow night. There's tons of Falcons guys and gals that we follow to get our news. That's one side of things. That's brought to you from a very specific point of view. I want to see what the other side is. And sometimes the other side can be more realistic, more truthful, and sometimes they're hidden or shying away from the truth all the same. So we're going to find out exactly what's going on there. But we are going to break down the Atlanta Falcons practice today in a couple of minutes. Again, it's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. If you want to hit me up on Twitter throughout the show, at Abe Gordon. We can also open up the phone lines. And if you want to share some thoughts about what you've heard about the Falcons, 404-726-0929. Hawks announced 4 preseason games, 2 at home. That's going to be the Pacers and 76ers. 2 on the road. That's the Heat and the Thunder. These are in mid-October. And we're in mid-August right now. And it just seems quick, I guess. And maybe this offseason felt like it lasted longer because of the number one draft pick and because of the eventual you knew someone was going to get traded. And then because of the draft pick, you maybe were a little dialed into summer league. At least I was. But, man, it feels like it's been go, 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 go. And then, obviously, the Olympics adds to that. We'll have some downtime here between the end of the Olympic tournament for the U.S. men's basketball squad and the preseason, but that does seem to creep up on you. Real quick, women basketball take care of Nigeria. They head to the semifinals. The U.S. did pick up a couple of medals, a couple of gold medals there in wrestling. You picked up a gold medal on the cycling track as well. A couple of silvers, a bronze in weightlifting. I'm trying to think anything else jumped out to mind. Oh, yeah. An outstanding race in the men's 400. And there's been a couple of these where you're just like, I don't think he's got it, man. He just didn't have it today. And then all of a sudden he turns it on and he does have it. And that's what happened for Quincy Hall today. I do implore you, if you're going to be watching NBC's coverage of the Olympics, the re-air primetime stuff, definitely tune in for the 400. The 200 had some very good results as well. All 3 Americans are going to the finals of the men's 200 meter. That's going to be tomorrow. So we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow night when I take to the air. Raheem Morris at practice today, or after. I don't think he said this during. Says we're going to get, quote, a good look, end quote, at Michael Penix Jr. And one of the things I'll be looking for, and we're going to do a lot more of this tomorrow night, and you're kind of previewing the preseason game and what I want to look for, what I'm hoping to see, that sort of thing. But I will say this, because I don't know if I've actually brought it up before, is that Michael Penix Jr., for whatever reason, has had a tendency to start a little slow. He certainly started slow on Friday night at Mercedes-Benz at the practice there, but he dialed it up pretty quickly. And I am interested to see. And by the way, he's been doing that pretty much the whole way through. He's been doing it at training camp, at the practices at Flowery Branch as well. I'm really interested to see how he starts. I don't really have a ton of question about Michael Penix Jr. Like, I think we know what he is. He's going to develop. He's going to learn. He's going to get better. But I am interested in how he starts. And that part of his game does need to adjust and change a little bit quicker maybe than some of the rest. So we'll see how he falls there, but we'll keep an eye on that come Friday night. Atlanta Braves, what are we? Five? I don't know when I never know when first pitch is. It used to be like so. It's probably 7:20, but I never know if it's 7:10, 7:20, 7:15. Whenever it starts, it starts. Again, I finally have it back on TV here, so I'm very happy about that. All right, when we come back, the Atlanta Falcons joint practice numero dos, the final one with the Miami Dolphins, and obviously the preseason game coming up Friday. One big difference I'll tell you about on the other side was the intensity. Kirk Cousins mentioned it a little bit, but probably not in the manner that I'm referring to. I'll detail what happened to you out on the fields there in Miami Gardens on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here taking you till 10 o'clock on a Wednesday evening. Another warm day in Atlanta. Need it to cool off quite a bit because I'm going for a run tomorrow morning. And, you know, the longer it stays in that 72, 73 range in the morning, the better for me. Past couple times, I'll tell you what, like 2.5, maybe 3 miles into the run, the shirt was useless, just completely drenched. I mean, just fully drenched. And I felt like I was putting more sweat back on my face every time I tried to bring sweat off of my face. So hopefully maybe we can find a way to, maybe get to mile 5 before that takes place. I don't know. We'll figure that out tomorrow. Atlanta Falcons down in Miami, as we all know, it's been a big deal. And the joint practices are a big deal. And we talk about the preseason games and what you're looking for there. And we'll do, like I said, we'll do a lot more of that on Thursday. But for a lot of teams, for a lot of players, for a lot of coaches, they view these joint practices as much more of a learning experience and a developmental tool and a measuring stick than, especially for the first teamers, than they do in the preseason. And I think you see that pretty much across the league by how many guys take part in joint practices and do not take part in preseason games, especially quarterbacks, receivers, some running backs, you know, top pass rusher, stuff like that. And so you can learn a lot about what goes down in the joint practices. In 40 minutes, we're going to try and find out a little bit more detail of what happened on the field, because Travis Wingfield of MiamiDolphins.com is going to join me. But I went through it. I went through Travis's tweets. I went through D-Led's tweets. I went through a couple of different Falcons, Torrey and Josh Kendall and Daniel Flick as well. I mean, I was in then about two or three Dolphins. I was trying to get every single angle I could, and here's kind of what we've compiled about what went down in Miami. And we're going to get to some of the comments that Duke Sabel had been referencing in a couple of moments about Kirk Cousins, because I actually am taking it a completely different way than how they are taking it. And I know they seem to feel like it's Kirk Cousins maybe being a little dissatisfied and trying to step up and be a leader. I got a little different spin on it, so we'll get to that in a moment. Talked about it earlier. Every show's kind of been covering it. The first big hit for the Falcons kind of came today. They had been pretty lucky with injuries, to be honest. They had been pretty lucky with injuries thus far. But wide receiver Rondale Moore was taken off the field with an air cast on his right leg. Josh Kendall had posted it was non-contact and that the knee is the concern. I don't know how often an air cast goes on for a knee injury, so very interested to see exactly what the injury was there. But as everyone here at 92.9, the game has kind of put out there today, we're crossing our fingers and best wishes to Rondale Moore. But I will say this, because I've been surprised at kind of the hype, the performance of Ray McCloud throughout the course of camp and on the Friday's practice at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and also down in Miami. And it's even a bigger deal now of the job that Ray McCloud has been doing, because it kind of was him and Rondale Moore for that third receiver slot role. And obviously if Moore is going to be out for the season or an extended time, Ray McCloud's role got even bigger. It might be interesting to see, by the way, if Ray McCloud's going to be used on kickoff, or maybe they take him off kickoff. I know there was some thought that they brought, even though we have Avery Williams, there was some thought that Ray McCloud, who had handled kickoff duties previously, might be a great spot for him. But obviously the upped the importance for him. And so maybe we don't see him on kickoff. The other thing today, and it was pretty tame yesterday. Today, a number of altercations, a lot of skirmishes, if you will. I wouldn't go full-out brawl, but one or two of them maybe irked its way towards that territory. Seemed like a lot of it had to do with the Atlanta Falcons offense and the Dolphins defense. A couple of different times I saw some Falcons offensive players, or it was reported that they took an extra hit or two, and that kind of really ramped up the tension. So there were a couple of training, joint practice battles, if you will. Kirk Cousins, to no one's surprise, does continue to impress. But so does tight end Kyle Pitts. They connected for a 27-yard touchdown today. I saw one Dolphin reporter tweet out, Kyle Pitts is causing matchup issues. He looks healthy again. There's also been some positive comments about Bijan Robinson. He had a 10-yard touchdown up the middle today, and he has been standing out at camp. And then another guy, and this is the look, I'm not going to lie, anytime like Bijan Robinson's on the field, I expect any media member to be like, yeah, he kind of pops. Like, I get that. That's Bijan. And quite frankly, that's what we want to hear about a healthy Kyle Pitts as well. But another guy that had been pretty quiet in camp, pretty quiet while in Flowery Branch, but seems to have made some noise the past 2 days, believe it or not, is Arnold Ebukadie. And this is a guy, when you looked at him at Flowery Branch, you're like, oh, man. Like, I know we talked about the potential of him taking a big step, and it just doesn't look like it. Well, that was here. And down in Miami, it was a different story. And so very interested to see maybe what that carries into the preseason game, but also how he's going to look when he returns here to Atlanta. Cousin faced a decent amount of pressure today. Had some middle to deep completions, a few of them broken up as well. But nice for him to face that and kind of get his first real looks at teams kind of moving around on him, coming after him. But here's the big thing for me. Like, I was always going to come out of these joint practices feeling pretty confident about the offense. Like, I didn't think the Dolphins were just going to hold serve on defense and just shut down the Falcons' offense. The reports, though, for the Falcons and how well their defense held up is the one that's got me a little bit more excited. That's the one that kind of reaches me and impacts a little bit. The offense is going to be the offense. And look, I don't know what the high end of the offense is. Maybe it is top five, top six. But, I mean, they're not going to be the mess that it was last year. They're just not. And they're going to be in a certain range that, to me, is no worse than middle of the pack and is hopefully in the top 10, possibly as high as 5, 6, something like that. The defense, though, still a lot of questions. And so it's nice to see that they held up quite a bit. All right, I want to hear from Kirk Cousins here, and there were some comments that he made about the intensity of the practice in Miami as it compared to Flowery Branch. This is Kirk Cousins speaking after today's second joint practice.
I think the intensity picked up a little bit, which honestly bothered me a little bit. I said, you know, if the pace of practice picked up, then what does that say about the previous practices? You know, we've got to be at that level all the time. So that would be my challenge. When we go back to Flowery Branch, you know, we got to practice at this pace regardless. And so that'll be an important point of emphasis, but good 2 days.
I am a little confused by that comment for a couple of reasons. Obviously, you haven't even hit your first preseason game. You're still ramping up. You're not in pads all that much. You're certainly not going physically that much. Like, this was a practice designed to ramp up the intensity. And I'm a little surprised that Kirk Cousins would take this approach. One, it kind of challenges Raheem Morris a little bit, indirectly and not intentionally, but it does. It kind of gives the premise that Coach Ra has let the team off easy a little bit. And again, I know that's not what he meant, but it comes off that way, or it can come off that way. And then here's the other thing. He was involved with these practices. He's been in this league how many years? He should know what's a intense practice and what's a practice where guys aren't doing enough. And so to kind of ramp it up now and use it now, I mean, we want to talk about leadership. If the concern is why have we been going so soft before, isn't that on him to bring that up? When they're at Flowery Branch or they're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium or they're at Seckinger, it just felt out of place. Like, quite honestly, I don't think I want practice to be that intense when they come back. You've still got 3 weeks here before the start of the season. This was supposed to be a ramped-up intense practice. It's supposed to be as close to game situation as many of these guys are going to get because they're not playing in the preseason. They've got a pretty long ramp up still. And I don't know. It sounded weird. It sounded weird to me. And I like the premise behind it. I like the premise of, hey, we ramped it up here. Let's see if we can ramp it up back at home, too. But I don't know if you need to ramp it up for 3 straight weeks. I mean, you're a week and a half into camp, 2 weeks. unless Kirk Cousins is concerned about where this team is right now, and in that case, that is not something you bring to the media. That's something you bring directly to the head coach. And look, if you're Kirk Cousins, whether you like the hierarchy or not, or as a fan, I think it's fair for Kirk Cousins to challenge and question Raheem Morris. I mean, Kirk Cousins has been doing it in this league at that level for a long time. Raheem Morris is stepping in to his second term as head coach. I think it's fair for him to challenge and question Raheem Morris. But it kind of felt to me like that was a toss under the bus a little bit. And again, look, we've seen Kirk Cousins say stuff that he probably shouldn't be saying before. So we know he's not doing it intentionally. But it sounds like he realized the team was not doing enough at practice. And whose shoulders does that fall on besides Raheem Morris? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I would have expected the intensity at practice in a joint practice with another team to be higher than anything you had done before. That seemed to make sense. Seems like the common progression. So, you know, I don't know. It kind of stuck out to me. Real quick, let's get one phone call. We got Unc wants to talk about the Falcons joint practice. What's going on, Unc?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
So, here's my take on the ramped up and all of this good stuff, you know what I mean? So football is football at every level. So you play and you play like you practice. So if you're going to start camp, you don't have steps. So I get what Kirk Cousins says. So
yeah, I didn't. Unc, I got to stop you here for a sec. I'm going to let you finish, but I don't buy it.
Okay.
I know the mindset of you play like you practice. But you also can't just go full contact for 3 weeks because that's how you want to play. There is a ramp-up period, and that's part of it. Having it at slow, 70%, walk-through, no contact, like that's all part of getting – and I know what you're trying to say, but part of it is working your way there.
Try telling Kirby that. It's not about the ramp up. I mean, like, even through walkthroughs are intense. Even through, you know what I mean? Like, we haven't had a skirmish in camp. I mean, they ain't got to fight. But at least a skirmish.
There were a couple small ones. Nothing serious.
You know? Yeah, so I get it. But this is what I wanted to say, though.
But here's the thing. If you want to have this conversation in 2 weeks when you're a week out from the season, I would much more entertain it then. As opposed to when we've had like 8 practices.
Okay, so let me say this before you go. You know what I mean? And we're having this conversation because and I'm calling it because I hear what you're saying also. But Kirk also, this is first go around with the Falcons. So now if he was still in Minnesota, he'll probably already be like, God, this ain't what we used to doing. So he got to, you know, he's right now he's still fitting these guys out in camp.
And by the way, Unc, I don't have a problem with him thinking this or him saying it. But it's something he needs to say to the coach or the team, not to the media first.
Oh, a lot of time they talk to the team through the media.
And yeah, we found that to be a problem with Kirk a couple times, unfortunately. He's kind of let a couple things slide. Unc, I appreciate the call, man.
We're going to see how it's going to go on Friday, though. I'm looking forward to a good season. I spent a lot of big time for the Falcons. So.
Yeah, we're going to talk on tomorrow night about what we're hoping to see Friday night. But, yeah, obviously, result is not one of them. I guess we have to have that conversation, don't we? Like, do you care if we win? Winning is a habit. So, winning the preseason, is that what we're doing? At least we can't throw that Ravens thing in our faces anymore because their streak ended thanks to the Commanders last year. And look, like the point about Kirby, I get it. Like they have some hard practices. They also have some walkthroughs. Like also they've got a lot more players on the roster they can burn through. I don't know, just seemed to me like it needs to be ramped up. If you get to late August, and you're still like, yo, why are we going so slow? I get it then. All right, when we come back, we are going to switch to, speaking of Kirby Smart, a little bit of college football because Kirby has his guys atop the coaches' poll. by quite a fair margin. We'll talk about this, what I learned from the coaches poll, what kind of caught me off guard, and a couple of other quarterback news, coach news, and what else is going on, Jim Harbaugh telling lies, all that stuff. It's all coming your way in about 5 minutes. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. It's over. Our long national nightmare is over. The Atlanta Braves have scored a run. Two, in fact. And the inning's not even over. A couple first inning runs here. Chris Sale on the bump as well. So hopefully Braves can kind of get something going. I mentioned to start the show out, they're now third wild card spot. They were the first place wild card spot yesterday. They're tied for it. Still a game and a half above the Mets, three above the Cardinals, and then four above the Pirates, who are fighting like heck to try and get there. But, the Braves right there, certainly all the same. And so a win today would put you back in a little bit of discussion and place where you want to be. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how it goes. And maybe we can calm down, maybe not. I don't know. We're going to talk Braves at 8 o'clock. I had to push Travis. Well, I didn't have to. Travis Wingfield asked if he could move from 8 to 8:20, and I obliged. I can just switch some segments up, and there we go. We are going to talk Braves at 8 o'clock because I kind of teased it earlier. There's one question that fans have to ask themselves, and if the answer is no, you may as well consider the season over. It's not a fun question. I don't like asking it, but it's the reality of the Braves. And so we'll talk about that in about 15, 16 minutes. But another team here that is going to be trying to fight for a championship is the Georgia Bulldogs. And Georgia, the coaches poll released Monday afternoon. Georgia gets 46 out of 55 first-place votes. Ohio State had 7. Understandable. Texas has 1. Okay. And Michigan got 1. Now, I will say this. There are some coaches who will go by the will not give my vote to another team until the defending champ loses. Okay? And I'm presuming that's what this is. It's just a coach with a not until they lose first mindset. And, I think he has every right, whoever voted it, the SID probably wrote it down. I think they have every right to use that mindset. I would love to find out if someone actually believes Michigan's the best team in the country to start the season. But, sometimes with these votes, it won't be until they lose. So that kind of writes that one away. Texas with 1, Ohio State with 7, Georgia with the other 46. SEC had 9 teams ranked. Understandable. Big Ten had 6 teams ranked. A couple of newcomers not exactly pulling their weight. That might change. Big 12 has 5 teams, but none of them overly high. And the ACC has 4 teams. One of the top 5 things that kind of jumped out at me: Oregon at number 3, ranked above Texas at number 4. I don't know how sold I am on the Ducks just yet. I like Dan Lanning. I like some of the guys they still have. I think I like Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. But they lost a lot of talent to the NFL. And so there's still some questions. I don't know. I'm going to have to see it. And they've got to adjust to dealing with the Big Ten as well. I think Oregon's good. Are they better than Texas? I don't know. Texas has a lot of questions, too. They got another question thrust their way today when C.J. Baxter went down. But, I don't know. I don't know about that one. Number 11, Missouri, is ahead of SEC foes LSU, who's 12, and Tennessee, who's 15. Missouri at 11. It's just asking a lot for a second straight year. That defense cannot fold because the offense They had to do it a little bit. Luther Burden's going to get double, triple covered this year. And without their running back, Schrader, Brady Cook and Luther Burden got to keep that connection going. Teams that I think need to finish higher than their ranking because of, pressure that would theoretically be placed on the program. Number 14, Clemson. I mean, if they finish 14th this year, you can probably kiss Dabo in terms of being that guy in that discussion. That's gone. And I'm not saying they're firing Dabo. Hear me out. I'm saying he's no longer in that discussion. The best coach in the country. He has two national championships. So that means this. Nah. If they finish at 14 this year, you can kiss that goodbye. Same thing with Tennessee. We mentioned number 15, Tennessee. If they finish at 15, the Nico thing maybe didn't deliver quite to the extent they were hoping it would. Doesn't mean they're a bad team, but they're thinking higher aspirations there. Number 19, Miami. I don't know, man. Like, is the U back at number 19? Like, I don't think so. And if they're 19th, what does that mean for Cam Ward, who they kind of put all their eggs in the Cam Ward basket? I'm not sure about him either. 23. Lincoln Riley's getting a lot of pressure on him for a variety of reasons. But he made a comment about delivering a Heisman as if that's his number one goal. Like, man, you got to win national titles, bro. And you're going to have the opportunity to do that in the Big Ten and with a 12-team playoff. But if you finish 23rd, good luck. So that was some of my big takeaways from the coaches poll that was released on Monday. Again, it's Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. We got a couple of other college football stories I want to get to. Michigan is kind of got a twofer here. The NCAA is still looking at punishing new Michigan head coach Sharon Moore. He says they violated NCAA rules. He allegedly deleted a thread of over 50 text messages with the one and only Connor Stallions. And so, obviously, if he's involved in any way with the Stallion stuff, I think you can see where that's headed. And that's fine. Like, if you want to punish him, however you're going to punish him, hopefully it doesn't cost him his job, the program, whatever. I'll say this. Don't waste everyone's time vacating wins or a national championship. Like, we've been through this before. No one forgets who the best team in the country was. It doesn't impact the future. No one cares. And now we got Jim Harbaugh with a 4-year show cause and a 1-year suspension for recruiting violations that took place during the COVID years. Here's my thing with that. If Jim Harbaugh were still at Michigan, hadn't taken the job in the NFL, would he have a 4-year show cause and a 1-year suspension? Just ask yourselves that. It's an easy way out for the NCAA to punish Harbaugh when he's already gone. Would they have punished him in this manner if he were still at Michigan? I say absolutely not. And so it's just the latest example of the NCAA being cowards, taking the easy way out. They never would have done this if he was still at Michigan. They're only doing it now because they know they can get away with it. There's no real downside for Harbaugh. I mean, even if Harbaugh doesn't succeed with the Chargers, he's going to be there 3 years. I guess he'd have to sit out 1 year. And so, again, a little hypocritical. And then the last thing I want to say is about the reports out of Ohio State that are twofold. I know Ohio State has had Chris Olave in recent years. We just got finished with Marvin Harrison. Emeka Ebuka is still there. He's probably going to be a first-round receiver. But what they're saying about Jeremiah Smith. And I've been anxious because he's one of the few guys coming out of high school where I'm like, I want to see him like immediately.
Well, it's rare that you get a wide receiver that's the consensus number one player of the year in high school football as a senior. And that's what Jeremiah Smith was. So, and he's He's huge, too. Like, it's rare you see a freshman with that kind of size at that position,
I want to see it, man. And, look, to me, Ohio State is separated from everyone else as the second-best team in the country. In fact, I will say this, and I know Georgia fans are going to yell at me. I think Ohio State is closer to Georgia than any other team is as close to Ohio State, if that makes sense. I think there's a pretty big gap between Ohio State at 2 and anyone else who's going to be at 3. But I will say this. It's going to come down to the quarterback play. And Will Howard is reportedly finding a little bit of separation in the quarterback battle. I didn't know there was a quarterback battle. I thought it was just Will Howard's job. But
you got a couple of ballyhoo freshmen out there,
I know,
too.
I know. And so he is separating from Julian Sain a little bit. Maybe it was a competition. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just Ryan Day trying to put a little bit of pressure and trying to push Will Howard. But, yeah, when I look at Ohio State, it's going to be the quarterback play. That is going to be their biggest hurdle. And so if Will Howard can deliver with what they've got at running back with Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins with Abuka and Jeremiah Smith, I don't know who he is, but I'm sure they have another tight end that's going to tear things up. And some quality players on defense. Remember, they got Bama transfer Caleb Downs. Ohio State, I think, is closer to Georgia than Texas or Oregon is to Ohio State. Now, we'll find out because Ohio State's going to have to play Oregon. But and you know, for that matter, Texas will play Georgia. So there you go. But a little bit of separation in the quarterback battle there for the Buckeyes. Chris Sale works his way out of trouble in the top of the second inning. A couple guys had reached. I think the bases were loaded there. A couple of softly hit, you know, seeing eye type stuff. And then, you know, one that Riley knocked down but couldn't quite get a throw to first on that one. But does get out of the inning. The Braves hold 8-2 lead. Speaking about the Braves, we're going to get into this a little bit more. There's one question that Braves fans need to ask themselves. And if the answer is no, consider the season over. What is that question? I'll tell you what it is on the other side in about 5 minutes. It's Abe Gordon here coming to you live in the Kia Studios all the way till 10 o'clock. We got a lot still to come. Travis Wingfield's going to join at 8:20, MiamiDolphins.com, and we'll go outside the perimeter at 9 o'clock. Hit me up on Twitter. I've already gotten a little bit of hate mail for some of my takes in regards to Cousins' comments on the intensity of practice. I just don't know what Cousins was expecting. That's the question that I have. We'll dive back into that in our final hour as well. All right, it's Abe Gordon. Hit me up on Twitter, at Abe Gordon, or as always on the phones, 404-726-0929. Coming back with some Braves talk on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.